Good morning. It's a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, this morning calls now for the Labor Secretary, Mr. Costa, to resign over the Jeffrey Epstein plea deal. We have seen also the White House Chief of Staff, Mulvaney, pressing the president to dump Acosta amid this mounting outrage. And also another focus on the Manhattan prosecutor, the DA, Cyrus Vance, whose office sought reduced sex offender status for Epstein. This thing has exploded.
And I don't think, and I said so yesterday, I don't think this is over by any means. It's going to expand and expand. Look, this guy, Epstein, had so much money and so much power and was so close to so many people. We're talking about Bill Clinton, which I talked about yesterday. We're talking about a number of the top people who like to play in that league. And this is one of the ways in which we see the insidious concept of money. Money really does talk in this society, and people want it. They want to get close to it. And we have it reaching up all the way to the President of the United States, who made this quote about how he liked women just like he did younger women. And I don't think we've seen the end of this yet. Now, of course, we don't know what Epstein knows, and we don't know what he's willing to say. But we do know about calendar parties in which Epstein and Trump and a whole bunch of women and no one else were there. This is, of course, just the beginning stages. Now, what happens is, it's what did anybody know, when did they know it, and how much information does the person who is being indicted know that he's able to use in a productive manner to help himself? This is a federal indictment that is happening now, and we all know that the President of the United States has the power of the pardon when that happens.
From there to New York, where you spoke to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday. Alan, whoa, what a conversation. And
we got a lot of fun.
He's been on this riff about what it means to be a progressive. You were questioning him about the Queens race, which is in a manual recount right now.
16-vote difference.
Yeah, and you said to him, has this put him in a bad spot? He backed establishment candidate Melinda Katz as opposed to Tiffany Caban, the progressive. And he ended that conversation with saying, I am the left.
Well, he did, made the Daily News, that quote, and made the New York Post. A lot of people are talking because basically he is making the argument, look, I've done more than any governor has ever done before. I have a whole list of accomplishments. That makes me a progressive. And we go back to all those conversations we had with his father, in which Mario Cuomo would describe himself as a progressive pragmatist. And now we are seeing the same basic argument from his son, who's saying, look, I've done it, therefore I get the credit, and therefore I'm a progressive. Apparently the idea is you say it enough and people will say, well, yeah, he's right about that. There'll be some who say, okay, cut it out already, it's enough.
Is he a progressive, Alan?
Well, I think anybody who passes legislation, for example, about gay marriage and things of that kind, I don't know who signs it, they have the right to call themselves progressives. It is fairly well known that Andrew Cuomo came into the governorship as a moderate, but as the party moved left, so did he. And I think the whole name game here is a little ridiculous, but he obviously thinks it's important enough to reiterate this claim again and again.
Well, from is he a progressive to is he a Republican? This from The Hill. 2.5 years into his term, President Trump has little to show for breaking with erstwhile Republican Party orthodoxy on trade and budget policy. Indeed, far from delivering on his promise to cut America's trade deficit, Trump has presided over a ballooning deficit that's on pace to be some 25% higher than when he took office. The deficit is widening, and the country's public debt is well on its way to exceeding 90% of GDP.
Somebody's got to pay for that, of course, and it's the American people. You know, when you borrow, you have to pay back, and you have to pay back with interest. So it's not good. And here's a guy who has basically made similar arguments in the past. Now, what's he going to say to his base? He's going to say, well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. And everybody say, okay, so that it doesn't matter. But it does matter, of course. If you're paying interest, you're not paying for schools. If you're paying interest, you're not paying for people's college tuitions. And now, David, on top of all of this, we get a couple of handpicked Republican judges who are basically saying to the president, finally, okay, we're going to bring it all the way up to the top, and we're going to do away with affordable care, the Obama health care plan. And the president is still saying, well, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it better. But there's never been a hint of what he was going to do or what he could do, considering the fact that he's got a Democratic Congress. So it is a tough thing for the American people to swallow, but the people who have been swallowing will keep on doing it.
Finally, today, the U.S. women's soccer team, fresh off their World Cup championship, will be riding down the Avenue of Heroes in New York for a ticker tape celebration. Of course, Megan Rapinoe said that the president of the United States excludes people by his policy.
Like herself, she says, and that is right. And she's had the guts to say, I'm not. She used an expletive, of course. Some people like that. Some people don't. I'm not going to the White House. And she's not the first athlete who has refused an invitation to go. Often people of color, often people who have been excluded by the Trump message. And the people of New York are wildly blue. And that can't hurt when this celebration happened. It's one thing when you win a sports event. It's another thing when you stand up for your principles and you become a personage of great affection to so many people. And then an awful lot of people will be throwing stuff out the window, which will mean that somebody's going to have to clean it up. But of course, somebody's going to have to clean up the mess that Trump has made already.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Always great to talk to you, Alan.
And you, David, always the bright spot of the day. Thanks so much.
Thank you.